You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
So we are in a series that's titled Love Your Neighbor, kind of feeling the temperature of 2024 and all the animosity, hostility that we see around us, not only in our country, but across the globe. We see that people are angry and people, there's more hate than love when we look at our communities. But Jesus said that his people, his followers, would be different. That we would live a life where we would be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And people would leave our presence feeling a lot differently than when they were in the presence of those that didn't know him. The church, I believe, we're called to stand up and love people with the love of Christ. And so as we've been going through this series, we've been seeing how we should walk in the acts of love and the acts of kindness and all the attributes that Christ brings. And we're going to finish up this series with how we do this. How do we live it out? We're going to talk about with acts of service, how we serve people around us. But I want to start out with a premise. I want to start out with the scripture passage that we've been reading every week in this series, which is from Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. And Jesus answers a question. They're trying to trick him, but he answers a question that's very important to us today. And the question was this: Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? So of the Ten Commandments, what's the most important? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So your heart is your emotions. You know, as Guy was leading us in praise and worship, his emotions were stirred as he worshiped God. That's a love that permeates a heart. And when you love God with your heart, your emotions, and then your soul, that's your being. That's who you are, your breath, your life. Then things begin to go well. And then with your mind, your thinking, your intellect. So Christianity is not a non-intellectual faith system. We think through things, amen? In fact, in the Old Testament, God said, reason with me, as he talked to the children of Israel. We need to reason things out. We're not led like zombies, amen? You guys intellectually came in here today. You thought about what you were going to do, and you have to think through your walk with God, and you think about how much you love him because of how good he is. It's the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And then 39, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor, so love God, love people, as you love yourself. It's hard to love your neighbor when you don't have anything to love with. Amen? You can't give to someone something you don't possess. You're very fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You're very unique. There's no one like you, and your wife or your husband is going to say, thank God for that. Thank God that there's not someone like my honey. One is enough. Right? And so he says the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. This is home base for our lives. This is, if you get lost, if you lose your way in life, you go back to home base. If you can just live your life prioritizing that I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to choose to love God with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all of my mind, if I can choose that every day, I'm in a good place. Because if I do that, then I'm going to be able to live out the second part, right? Because God's love will permeate me, and I will be able to love others, but it starts with me caring for me. I love that God made me unique. I love that God saved my soul when I was lost. I must be worth something for Jesus to go to the cross and die for James Reese. There must be something special about me if God would send his only son so that I would not perish but have everlasting life. Think about this. God loves you so much that he wants to live with you everlasting, forever. How many of your neighbors do you want to live with forever? God loves them too. How many family members are you glad that you see in Christmas and Thanksgiving? Don't say it. You can think it, but don't say it. But when we go to this base, it really helps us. It's your sweet spot, per se, as a Christian. Everything stems from your love of God and your love of others as you love yourself. Now, I want us for this final message, I want us to go to Galatians chapter 5. So if you've got your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read 13 through 15. It's going to be on your outline. It'll also be on the screens. But I really want for you guys and gals to begin to look at your Bibles. Find it. It's so easy now. It's wonderful that you can have the Bible on your phone. Amen? And you can find places there so you can see it in the Word. And this is what Paul says to the church in Galatia. And it starts out in this chapter 5. It says, if the Son has set you free, if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. Okay, so Jesus came for freedom. Anyone that's ever walked in addiction and Jesus became your Lord and Savior, how many of you know that he has the power to set you free from addiction? I know that for a fact. Anyone that's been in bondage to maybe feeling unworthy, how many of you know that God will give you worth? We talked about that. And God can do things that no one else can. So this is what Paul says in verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom. Notice it doesn't say you're forced to live in freedom. Freedom is a choice. So you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. There's a place in Scripture that says all things are lawful for a follower of Christ, but not all things are profitable. I can do all things because I'm free in Jesus, but I choose not to do some things because they're going to lead me down a path of destruction. Say amen if you believe that. Why do I say that? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. Jesus fulfilled everything for us, okay? Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's powerful. I've been set free to love people. I've been set free to serve people with the love of God. For the whole law, look at the basis. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always, look at verse 15, he finishes. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Does that sound like America? So how do we change that? We walk in the love of God. We own who we are in our new identity as Christians. Amen? We stop devouring our neighbors. We stop devouring those people in the church. Now, this is going to hit hard. It's going to hit hard. Because I believe, because of how the enemy works, that there may be someone here in the church that you struggle with someone else here in the church. Of course, not 8:45 a.m. service. This is a 10:30 a.m. service. You guys don't struggle with anybody. But the reality is there's a devil that doesn't want for you to walk in victory. Amen? Stop. He said, stop. He's talking to the church. Stop devouring one another. Watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Okay, here are your takeaways. You've been set free. That's a premise. Amen? You've been set free not to sin, but to serve. Smile at me if you believe that. For you have been called to live in freedom, Paul says, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. You and I have been set free from the bondage of sin to the freedom of serving. Someone came up to me before the service started, and they talked about what God is doing in their lives and how they were able to go and help someone recently and give them a financial blessing. And he said, you know, I don't have a lot to give, but I gave it to him, and it felt so free to do that. I felt so good to do that. And the reality is that when you've been set free by the power of God, and he took you out of a life of destruction, it's very easy for us to serve God's purposes. Amen? So one of my favorite sayings, in fact, I said it to my children as they were growing up, I said, idle hands are the devil's playground. Anyone ever heard that? Idle hands and idle minds is different than times of solitude and rest. There are times that we need to rest in the Lord. Amen? There are times that we need to get away and be alone with the Lord. That's a lot different than idle hands and idle minds. Because when we have idle hands, that means that we're not busy doing the Lord's business, doing the Lord's work. In fact, one of the things that's important, I'm going to urge and encourage every person here today to visit our missions table, which is in the cafe. And our missions directors, Brent and Becky Strand, are making two trips coming up. They're making a trip to the Gospel Rescue Mission, where you can serve the people that are hurting and down and out, and you can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And they're also going to Rocky Point, which is Puerto Peñasco, Mexico, and they want to take some people there. So if you have been set free by Jesus, wouldn't it be great for you to go and invest some time into the lives of people who need God? And so that tells us that you're busy doing the work of God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he put it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, so then, my dear friends, stand firm and ready. And I think that's what the National Day of Prayer is. Stand firm and ready. Stand in the things of God. Do not let the world take you. And it says, keep busy always in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless. In our elders' prayer meeting before the service today at 7 a.m., one of our elders, Leonard Casper, he's the director, he's the leader of Gideon's ministry for New Mexico and Arizona, and he's the president of Gideon's, and he was talking about how busy he is right now and all that they're doing, getting ready for a big campaign that the Gideon's is going to do, and he's tired, but he's tired doing the Lord's work. Amen? And so we were able to pray with him, to stand with him, for him and Barbara, and just believe that God's going to do a great thing. And this is what Paul is saying. Keep busy always in doing God's work, because if you're busy doing God's work, then you don't give yourself time to have idle hands and an idle mind. And God will give you everything you need when you rest in him, because he's faithful. So that's a word for you, Leonard. God is going to give you everything you need, bro, as you rest in him. See, we need to continually serve our neighbors. And we need to be planted people who love their neighbors. And the context, so Paul is writing, and he's saying, you know, I want for you guys to stay busy doing God's work, to loving one another and serving one another, because you've been set free. And then he ends with this. If you don't do that, he says, the danger, but if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. This speaks to me today in this manner, in this manner. It's one thing to come to church on Sunday morning. It's another thing to live like a Christian Monday through Saturday. It's one thing to hear God's message. It's another thing to live God's message. You guys and you gals are the only Jesus that some people will ever read. Your life represents something bigger than you. Your life represents someone greater than you. And if you just allow the Spirit of God to begin to work in your life and you resist the temptation to bite and devour one another and carry that over into your greatest opponents. They might not vote like you, but God loves them too. Are you with me? Hear me. They might not be in your social status. Recently, I was invited to go play a game that I love, and I love it more every time I play it. How could a game called pickleball be so enjoyable? But I went there and I went to go play. I was invited, and I went through these gates, you know, and I had to wait in line. There were a lot of people in front of me, and I'm going through the gates, and I got my 2000 Nissan Frontier. I'm just styling right. And I thought about it. There's coming a day where we're going to be going into the heavenly gates, the pearly gates, they call it. And can I tell you something? Like when I go to this gate and I say, you know, this lady says, what are you doing? What are you going to be doing? I'm going to go play pickleball. But there's coming a day that I'm going to go to these pearly gates. I will say, I'm here to see Jesus. He called me. He called me at a time where I was in a place of destruction, and he saved my soul, and he changed my life. Just like when you asked me to go play pickleball, you changed my life for a little bit. Not like Jesus. Someone said today, he said, Pastor, you want to go golf? I said, of course. Of course I do. So the reality is that there's so much better. Quit. My whole thrust is not pickleball. My whole thrust is not golf. My whole thrust is quit biting and devouring one another. Who do you have to make peace with? Who that's sitting here amongst you do you have to make peace with? Which person in your neighborhood do you need to make peace with? And then the way that you do it, the how, is you serve them. Amen? You serve them. So here's the second takeaway. You've been set free, and when we think about serving, there's two ways to serve, and here's the first way. You've been set free to serve where you're needed. Look at what Galatians 5:13b says. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. If someone is carrying a real heavy box, if you love them, and because you love them, you're going to help them with that heavy box. Amen? Your gift may not be to carry boxes, but the need at the moment is because you love them, you're going to help them out. And if you're really smart, and if you have the ability, if you're really wise, you're going to get a dolly. Hold on, I'll be right back. Right? Your freedom in Christ actually will accelerate, and it'll prompt you to do things for Jesus and through Jesus. One of the most memorable passages of Scripture is when Jesus says, when I was in prison, you came and you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a glass of water to drink. When I was hurting, you came and you stood by my side. And the reply was, Lord, when did I do that? And Jesus says, when you did it to the least of my disciples, you did it to me. And that's what I think about. When you have an opportunity, you're not doing it just to them. You're doing it to God. You're doing it for God. Amen? And I'm hearing so many testimonies of people telling me that through this series, God has prompted them to help and come alongside of people in need. And I have to believe that it makes God smile. Because you're taking time out of your schedule to help people, and you're lifting some of the heaviness in their life. In a later chapter in this same book, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's not about what you do for yourself that matters. It's what you do for others in the kingdom. A lot of times we get so self-focused. We focus on what's going on in our life, but God wants us to focus on everybody else's life. And when you do, what happens is that you'll see that your problems and your circumstances are really not as big as they were when you understand what people are going through. And who's your neighbor? It's anyone who God places on the path of life who has a need. And the beautiful thing about this is you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to serve a need. You don't have to be a church leader. You just need to have Jesus in your heart, and you'll recognize that there's people in our world who need the love of God. And the love of God is always shown through our actions. Amen? So you serve where you're needed. That's a second takeaway. Here's a third takeaway. You serve where you're gifted. And every one of you has a gift. If you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit has given each person a gift to make the body better. And you need to understand how you have been shaped. And Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And I believe that God just really gave Rick Warren an acronym to how you should serve God's purposes in life. And he calls it SHAPE. You have a shape. And in that, you begin to find out how everyone has been shaped for the work or the ability to serve people around you by God and for God. So here's how he describes. The S stands for spiritual gift. Every one of us has a spiritual gift. And this is what it says in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So right away, who gives the gifts? The Holy Spirit, right? And there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. He's talking about Jesus right here. We're going to see the Trinity. And then God the Father, works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. In verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice or the gift of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge, the gift of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another and to someone else. The one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Now this is beautiful because this thing, think about it. If we're exercising these gifts, the body gets better. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. In other words, that the gift of discerning spirits. So you understand, is this from God or is this from the enemy? And how many of us know that's important in the body of Christ? How many of you, have you ever got a feeling like something's not right? There's something not right with this person? And everyone around you say, no, they're great people. But you're like, there's something not right. And then you find out that the enemy is using that person to bring division. You ever seen that? How about in a family? Is that necessary? that there's something going on and someone comes in and they penetrate and then they separate. So that's a very important gift right there, the gift to be able to discern different spirits. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, the gift of tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. But it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So every person in this service right here, if you're a child of God, if you're walking with Jesus, you need to be embracing the spiritual gift that he's given you. You need to be walking in that. You know, when we recognize that Chris and Terry Butke, they have this gift to pray and to lead people to the throne. And so we say, you know, we want you to lead this team. And then there's, you know, the elders. They've been led to lead. We trust the Lord is guiding them to be servant leaders. And then there's people that work in children's ministry, like Gina Benson. She leads our kids zone. And we believe that God has placed a mantle on Gina to be like a Pied Piper and lead children and pour Jesus into them. Are you with me? But every one of you has a spiritual gift, and you need to exercise that, because until you exercise it, you'll never grow and get stronger in it. Amen? When I was called to preach, God called me to preach. But here's the thing that I knew for sure. I hated speaking in front of people. The only class, and some of you know this, but the only class, true story, that I flunked, that I was ineligible for, because I played sports growing up, ran track in college, but the only sport that I was ineligible for was public speaking. Because I hated getting in front of people, but God had a plan for our lives. And some of you guys in here, you're more than pew sitters. You're called to make a difference for the glory of God. And the only way you can make a difference is through God. Are you with me? He alone decides which gift each person should have. So that's your spiritual gift. The H stands for heart. This is what you're passionate about. Think right now. What are you passionate about? What do you think that the Brent and Becky Strands are passionate about? Missions. If you are around Brent Strand, he's a very shy person, very introverted. But when he crosses the border, it's like he goes into a phone booth and he takes off his shirt. And it's an SM right here, not Sam Manuel, but super missionary. He comes out like this. Can I tell you why? Because they have a passion for people to be built up in Jesus internationally. Now think with me. Some of you guys have a passion. Some of you have a passion financially. You guys, God has given you a passion for business. Use it for the glory of God. Some of you have a passion for sports. Use it for the glory of God. Use it as a platform. Amen? In fact, Mary Lou Retton, how many of you remember Mary Lou Retton? What did she do? She played volleyball in the Olympics, didn't she? No, she was a gymnast. And Mary Lou Retton said this, "Each of us has a fire in our hearts for something. It's our goal in life to find it and keep it lit." For a Christian, it's vital for you to say, "Lord, you place this passion in me. Let me rekindle it for your glory. Let me not cool down. Let me not waver when times get tough." It's 2024 and times are tough right now. But Christians need to be burning bright for Jesus. I don't care if you are in this location or that location, you need to burn bright with the passion that God gave you to bring glory to his name so that people will be warmed up with the warmth of God. Are you with me? Do not be intimidated in this time and season, because God has a work for you to do. Mary Lou Retton had perfect scores in gymnastics. She worked hard. She had a passion to do what she did, and she brought a gold medal, and the United States of America was better because of it. What if we were to champion that in our walk with God? What if we were to try so hard that we would get a 10 for the glory of God in whatever area God has placed you? If you're an educator, if you're a teacher, you're a teacher. Education, it is. You don't have to get real complicated. Education is this. It's arithmetic, it's language, it's grammar, it's social studies. It's physical education. It could be language like Spanish or different language. Teach the best that you can for the glory of God. Leave ideology to the parents. You want to change the school system, leave the ideology outside of the doors and start teaching kids. Let them be the best mathematician. Let them be the best grammar, people of grammar. Let them be the best that they can be for the glory of God. So do not let the devil take your passion. Do not let the enemy steal what he wants to steal. Some of you guys are gifted politically. You love politics and you're on fire for what's going on. But can I tell you, champion the cause of Christ in your politics. For whatever you're doing, do it for the glory of God. For the glory of God, not for the glory of man. Are you with me? Don't look at me like that. So the A in the acronym stands for abilities. We were all shaped with different abilities. Here's what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. For we are God's handiwork. You're a masterpiece. You have been equipped by God with certain abilities. You're created in Christ Jesus to do what? What kind of works? Bad works? To do good works. And these good works were prepared in advance for us to do. If you have the ability of writing, keep writing for the glory of God. We have a lady right, she's in this service, Judy Smith. She didn't ask me to do this, and she's probably going to say, Pastor, what are you doing? Judy Smith, she's authored 3 wonderful books. She's been gifted by God to write. Keep writing, Judy. There's another lady that just wrote a children's book in our congregation. Keep writing. There's another lady that wrote a book that helped you as you take care of your parents. And I'll tell you, right, when she gave me that book, she said, I want you to read it because I have a plan. I have a plan. I've got a plan. Because God has a plan. I'll reveal that plan a little bit later. Not come back next week. We'll talk about it. But these three ladies, by the way, who are the men that wrote books? Any man write a book? Raise your hand if you wrote a book. Dan Denny, the journalist, I want to talk to you. But as they wrote these books, they're using the gift that God equipped them with, and they're using it to bring glory to God. Keep writing is what I want to tell you. If you're a mechanic, if you've been gifted as a mechanic, use it for the glory of God. If you're a welder, then weld for the glory of God. Or if you're an accountant, raise your hand because we want to talk to you. But I'm retired. It's okay. Let's talk. We have an amazing accountant, Brenda Wright, and I just love her to pieces, but we need to talk, right? If you're a bookkeeper, you have a business ability. Some of you have a musical ability. It's a God-given ability. Okay? Use it. Use how God has shaped you. The P stands for personality. And this is a good one to know. How is your personality shaped? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's go to the Bible first. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. How many of you ever said, man, that person's complicated? I mean, I see people on Facebook that says, in a relationship, you know, what relationship? And then they'll put, it's complicated. I don't know what that means, right? Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. And so let's just think about that. How do we relate to others? How do we relate to others? You need to know this to make you more effective. Amen? Example, do you get strength and you get energy from being around a lot of people? If you do, you're an extrovert. You ever heard that term? And if you get drained by being around a lot of people, like, for example, we're going to a gathering and you're like, oh, you're dreading it all week. Oh, I'm going to be around Joe and he talks so much. Hijo de la nada. Right? You're an introvert. So you have to know your shape. And when Joe comes around, you talk to someone else. Hey, when Joe comes around, can you please cut in and let me exit? Because you're an introvert, right? If you're an extrovert, then you're like, you go around and have you ever been with someone and you know, I kind of fall into the extrovert personality trait, and you've been around something that's like work to try to have a conversation, and you're with them and they just don't talk. They give you one word answers. How you doing? Good. You having a good week? Yes. But then you go on a drive with them, right? Maybe you're making a trip with them, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, how can we have a conversation? You like this Christian station, bro? So knowing your personality is vital to knowing your shape and knowing how God will use you, amen. So we probably will not put like major introverts to greet. And we probably shouldn't put major extroverts to greet either. We got the problem. There's a guy, I'm not going to mention any names, but his name is Dan Denny. And a lady, I'm not going to say her name, starts with an R. And when they greet, they're talking to everybody. And they're supposed to be passing the bulletin, but they're over here talking to them. I love it. I think it's wonderful, but you just have to identify your gifting, amen? So if you're an extrovert, you probably don't want to serve at the library. Well, maybe you do, but you'll be talking to everybody. Yeah. And how do we structure our lives? You know, because we structure it according to the way that we're shaped. If you're controlled, let me read what controlled means. Personalities tend to prefer outcomes to processes. You're interested in structure because you're controlled in meeting deadlines, in closure, in moving on to the next things. Next thing, controlled persons tend to like checklists and plans. Spontaneous personalities tend to prefer processes to outcomes. They're more interested in going with the flow and seeing what happens than in making schedules and meeting deadlines. Spontaneous people tend to lose their checklist and plans. But that doesn't bother them because they go to the controlled people and say, can I see your list? And how do we take in information? We take it in according to our shape. If you're intuitive, those are people whose preference is for intuition, and they often describe themselves as innovative. Intuitive persons like metaphor and imagery and often understand complex ideas rather suddenly as a whole without knowing exactly how they know Intuitive persons tend to be more interested in what might be than in what is. A sensing person is people whose preference is for sensing. Often, they often describe themselves as practical. Sensing people, they gather information bit by bit and they focus on facts, data, and experience. Sensing personalities tend to be more interested in what is than what is or could be. Amen? Now, this is important in how you use your gifting if you understand your shape. So it's probably not good to have all intuitive people on a team. Amen? You want to have some people that are sensing personalities so that they can actually have some data to take them down the road. In fact, let me say this. We were in our elders meeting this past week, and our monthly elders meeting. And so we have an incredible team, but we're all different. And God has given me a visionary gifting, so I see things like way out there, and I'm saying, let's go over there. But then you got to have those individuals that say, okay, but we need to do this and this and this and this and this before we get there. How many of you know that that's needed? But we have one guy on our team, his name is Brian Evers, and if you see Brian, give him a big hug. Brian's an incredible leader. And he brought some data the other day to our elder board that I'm still gaining so much from it. And he brought this presentation to us that was like stellar, over the top. This guy just does his homework. And so we're blessed to have Brian on our team. Let's give Brian a big hand because he's incredible. I'm not kidding you. How do we make our decisions? You make them according to your personality and how it's shaped. So there's thinking personalities, and these are people who make decisions based on thinking. They focus more on facts, data, rules, and procedures and on how decisions will affect people. That's important right there. Feeling, this is people who make decisions based on feeling, and they focus more on how a decision will affect others. They may not make a hard decision because it will affect others negatively. How many of you fall into one of these two categories? You're a feeler, so you don't want to hurt anybody, right? Or you're a thinker, and you're just saying this is the right thing to do. See, my wife Shauna, and she's not here, but she's probably watching online. She's in Arkansas visiting her grandkids. I love you guys, and so. She's a thinker. She's a lion. She leads and she says, this has to be done. Doesn't matter how it's going to affect how people feel. It has to be done. And she's just going to do it. I'm more of a thinker. I'm thinking, how's this going to affect someone? Is it going to hurt them? But can I tell you something? Thinkers sometimes don't act when they should. Feelers sometimes act too fast. And so we need for the Lord to bring balance into that. Okay, experiences. Here's the E. And this is important, right? This is good. I have experiences in my life that have shaped me into who I am today. You have experiences in your life that have shaped you into who you are today. My life before Jesus had a way of shaping me. My life after Jesus shaped me as well. Before Christ, I did things my way. I took Frank Sinatra literally. I did it my way. After Jesus, I said, your way is better. Amen? But when you understand how to leverage your experiences for the glory of God, you will become the best you can be. Amen? So here's what Paul, I'm going to end with this scripture right here. Here's what Paul said. In Galatians 1, verse 13 through 16, he says, he's writing to the church in Galatia, and he's talking about his former life, and he says, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. That's who I was. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. And he wrote more letters than any other apostle. He started more churches than any other apostle before him. He did more work for the glory of God, but he always, always remembered how his old life shaped him. He was zealous for the things of the law. And then when Jesus came into his life, he said, Lord, from the day that I was conceived, you had a plan for my life. God's speaking to someone today. God's speaking to someone today. When you were in your mama's tummy, when you were conceived, God had a plan for you. And that plan was that you were going to make a difference for the glory of God in 2024. That no matter what's happening around you, no matter what the world says, no matter how hostile it is, you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And because of Jesus Christ, you're a world changer. Because of God and his plan for you, the addiction, the malicious living, the gossip, all these things that you were before, you're a new creation in Jesus now. And people are better off because of you being in their life, because God is using you for his glory. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful time that we had. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and make your presence known. I believe that you've been here, that the word has been breathed by you. And I pray that every heart in here will know that this is not a coincidence or an accident, that you have placed us here in this place together today so that you could speak your word through this vessel. I'm just a messenger, Lord. I'm a messenger who falls short of your glory. I'm a messenger, Lord, who you found me at one time lost, and now I'm found because of Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that every person in here will pause and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't want to take a step in my day and in my week without Jesus being a part of that. And for that, we give you glory. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Let's worship our King.